Lord Jesus, we aren't worthy of you. Lord, we don't deserve you, Lord. Please let us never come to a place where we take you for granted, where we take the salvation, the indwelling presence of your Spirit in us, our upward bound towards heaven. Please let us never ever take it for granted, Lord. Let us never think that it's something that we deserve, but we don't deserve, Lord. Everyone listening, Lord, any one of us, Lord, deserves judgment, hell, torment. We deserve to be crucified on a cross. We deserve to have our flesh ripped out of us, the hair ripped out of our face and our bodies. We deserve to be just clothed in shame and guilt and nakedness and all the sins of our lives. We deserve to be outcasted and neglected by you with your back turned to us. But you, Jesus, you changed it all. You became that for every one of us. You indeed are our God. We don't deserve it, Lord. We don't deserve it, Lord. I pray that anyone listening would be blessed by you, Lord. They'd be blessed by your presence. In your name I pray, amen. Hello, this is Michael Ryan, and welcome to Knowing Jesus. You can subscribe to these Audio Boo podcasts by going to any iTunes search query and typing in Michael Ryan's Booze. That's B-O-O-S. So we're going to be over in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul's writing to this group, the Corinthians, they're in Corinth, group of believers who were particularly very carnal, no different than you and I, just focus on the world, their desires. One particular situation is in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, they were allowing one of their brethren to be in a relationship with his stepmother. And Paul rebuked them for it, and he even said that he'd be thrown outside the church. So now he's responding to it here in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, which is good. He's following up with them, as any good mentor does. And he starts in verse 7 by saying, as he reported to us your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more. For though I caused you sorrow by my letter, remember that's the letter I just told you, 1 Corinthians, particularly verse chapter 5. And he kind of gives it to them the whole quite a few chapters, but from my understanding, chapter 5 is the main one in context. Please feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. So he says, for though I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it. For I see that the letter caused you sorrow, though only for a while. So I like Paul's humanity right here. He's saying, look, I wrote you a letter, and I know I caused you sorrow, and I regretted it at the time. I don't regret it now, though. But at the time, I regretted it, because we don't like to make people feel bad, even when we're trying to rebuke them or put them on the right path. If you're sincere, you really don't want to hurt that person. You don't want to bring them to a place where they start to feel bad or terrible about themselves. But as Paul's saying, for I see that the letter caused you sorrow, though only for a while. But look, verse 9, now I rejoice, but that you were made sorrowful. Not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance. For you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, so that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death. The sorrow of the world produces death. Verse 11, for observe this very thing, that you sorrow in a godly manner. What diligence it produced in you. What clearing of yourselves. What indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication. In all things, you proved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Therefore, although I wrote to you, I did not do it for the sake of him who had done the wrong, nor for the sake of him who suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear to you. Friends, repentance is good. Repent. Repent. Now, I know that among us in the church, there's a lot of people who they don't understand this process of repentance, sorrow, turning into this victory. I mean, that's true repentance. It's sorrow about what you've done. It's turning around and making a different, walking a different way. And the victory and the rejoicing of it. Many of us, we get caught in the sorrow piece. And we stay there. We stay right there. That's why Paul says, for the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death. Oftentimes, when we do something that we shouldn't do, we say something we shouldn't say, we look at something we shouldn't have looked at, we feel really sorrowful, and it messes up our walk. I mean, it completely has the opposite effect. What happens as believers is we set some kind of standard of how we should be behaving, and when we go below that standard, it's like we kind of throw in a towel for a little bit. You know, we just for the day or for several hours, for a week, some people for a while. They just disconnect from the Lord because they feel like they're not worthy anymore. They're so sorrowful. They're so regretful. They're so remorseful and beating themselves up that they think that they don't have anything, any part of the kingdom. And maybe that's you. Maybe you're the kind of person that when you sin or when you do something that you're not supposed to, according to the word, you really beat yourself up about it, and you really don't let up on yourself, you know. You know, you worship God, you have a great time in church, you read the Bible, and next thing you know, you're there doing that thing that you know you shouldn't be doing. You get caught in that particular habitual sin that you're trying to stop, and you beat yourself up. But I just, you know, I really want to encourage you that True repentance isn't sorrow. True repentance is sorrow leading to the joy, leading to the vindication, leading to the clearing of yourself, leading to the zeal. It's life-changing. It's renewing. It's good. Repentance is good. Repentance doesn't mean you're going to never do that thing again. Sometimes we get stuck saying that to ourselves. Oh, I want to repent, but I know I'm just going to go ahead and do it again. So I don't really want to repent because I'm not sincere. And I would just say that, you know, that's a lot of flesh and Satan talk is going on in your heart. It's just a lot of lies you're telling yourself. The bottom line is that you are redeemed, and you are stuck with a sinful nature, and you're gonna sin. And the way you deal with that is not by focusing on it, it's not by mourning it, it's by just worshiping the Lord and staying in his presence. It's by trusting in him to guide you through your temptations. And when it comes that you fail and you give in to temptation, or when it comes that you find yourself doing things automatically, sinning and looking back and saying, oh my gosh, look what I've done, look what I've thought, look what I've said, that's your opportunity to enter into God's abundant life another way. See, you can enter into his abundant life the front way by just trusting in him and inviting him to fill you up so you can hide in Jesus in your heart so you don't sin. But if you do sin, you can enter into his grace at the back end by repenting. By truly repenting and trusting that he is good. Not that you have to be good, but that he's good. And he restores you. You know, don't be Judas. You know, Judas is not someone you talk about, but a lot of Christians, we act like Judas. You know, we missed the boat. You know, wow, you know, someone can look and say, Judas really must have felt bad for what he did. He hung himself. And I think that Judas hanging himself is a picture of what a lot of believers do. We go out and we hang ourselves. We do something wrong, and like instead of just going into the Lord and believing that he is who he says that he is, going back to the cross, going back to the abundant life, we go back to death. We hang ourselves. And I'm saying, if that's you, don't hang yourself anymore. Stop it, please. Satan loves that. He really does. He really, really does. But your Lord Jesus doesn't, because he redeemed you. He paid for every sin. You just go to the Lord. You're going to feel sorrowful. Anyone who's in the Lord is going to hate their sin. Anyone who really gets a full glimpse of the Jesus Christ that lives in them, if they believe the gospel, they're going to feel sorrowful about their sin. That's natural. That's normal. But the next phase to it is repentance. That's the kind of sorrow that God likes. God likes the sorrow that leads to you repenting, that leads to you determining to walk a different way. And what's the different way that you walk? I'm never going to do that again? No, that's not the way you walk. Repentance isn't making up your mind not to sin anymore. Repentance isn't making up your mind not to do that thing anymore. Repentance is making up your mind to serve the Lord Jesus. Repentance is making up your mind to walk towards him, to look into him, to fix your eyes in him, to be filled and led by him. If you make repentance about not sinning again or not doing that sin, you're going to make yourself an ugly cycle that's going to lead you to hanging yourself like Judas did. But you're called to present yourself to the Lord and let him do the work. The reason why you fell into sin wasn't because you weren't strong enough. See, that's the trick of the enemy, is that he makes you believe that you're not strong enough and you need to be stronger, and he makes you feel horrible about that. So you, when you sin, you say, oh, it's a result of me not being strong enough. Huh, I'm so horrible. Let me go hang myself. But you sinned because you didn't present yourself to your Savior. You sinned because you didn't trust him to do what his work is supposed to do in you. That's where the sin is. So how do you make up for it? You just go right back to him. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you to move out of the way so you can see him again. That's the problem, is that after we sin, instead of repenting, we're so busy focusing on ourselves that we can't truly repent. That's why Judas couldn't repent. That's why he hung himself. He was so busy focusing on him and what he did and how bad he feels that he couldn't get into the abundant life, and he eventually just killed himself and took his life. I mean, that is, Judas didn't have to go to hell. He didn't have to. Even what he did was forgivable. He went to hell not because of what he did. He went to hell not because of the fact that he betrayed the Son of Man. He went to hell because he didn't believe that Jesus was who he says he was. He is the Lamb of the world. He really is God. He really is the Savior. And he saves us from his sins. And you do well, my friends, to believe that for yourself. Let that just not be something that you say, oh, I'm saved by grace. But then you live this life of just legalism. And legalism doesn't have to look like you being some type of Nazi lawkeeper. It can really be as simple as you did something bad and you won't forgive yourself about it. That's legalism. You're trying to be justified by your deeds instead of justified by Jesus Christ and his blood. So I would encourage you to repent. You know, stop what you're doing. Stop it. Stop. And if anyone's listening to me, you should feel a sigh of relief, because I'm not telling you to try harder. I'm not saying stop doing this and now try hard not to do it any longer, because that's death. You've already taken the route. You already know what it's like to stop trying to do that particular sin or particular habit that gets to you. That doesn't work. I'm saying stop what you're doing and start focusing on the Lord. Stop worshiping whatever it is you're worshiping and begin to worship the Lord. Ask Him to fill you up. Realize that you can't stumble. Well, what do you mean, Mike? You should have seen what I just did, what I did last night, what I did this morning, what I did tonight. You can't stumble because, friends, either He'll prevent you from even giving into your temptation, or if you give into your temptation, He'll renew your mind and put you right back on your feet. You can't stumble, friends. I believe when it says that in Jude, it's saying that, look, we won't be taken off of our feet. We won't be permanently displaced. That's what I believe. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe someone has a different take on it, but you have the abundant life. You know, whether it's from the front end or the back end, God's grace is covering you. So just rejoice. Repent and rejoice. Be cleared. You know what clears you? It isn't just realizing that you could have done it this way or that way. What clears you is the presence of Jesus Christ. That's the true clearing. That's how you really clear yourself, is to get in on His presence. To stop being focused on other things to fill you up and to be filled by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And before you know it, while you're worshiping Him and asking Him to fill you up, He's already started bearing fruit in you again, and He'll cover whatever you did. He'll restore to you the joy of your salvation and allow you to go and preach Him to sinners. So I just encourage you, you know, just repent. Now is the time to do it. If you understand my words, now is the time to do it. Just repent. Turn away from what you're doing and turn towards the Lord and worship Him. That's it. Turn away from your sorrow. Turn away from your self-pity. Turn away from chasing after false gods. Turn away from your self-focus. Turn away from your selfishness. Turn away and focus on the Lord. Turn to Jesus Christ, your Messiah, and He'll give you life. He really will. He really will. And sure, there's consequences for the sins that you do on this planet, but you know, I mean, you just get yourself in on Jesus Christ and He'll bring you even through that. He brought David through the consequence of his sin with Bathsheba. His firstborn had to be killed. His life was taken, but the Lord brought him through that. Go look into the Psalms. The Lord brought him through. The consequences of your sin will be there, but if you're busy presenting yourself to the Lord, you'll get through it. If you're busy just kicking yourself and beating up yourself, well, then you're going to be even more depressed when the consequences of your sin come to fruition. I'm giving you the recipe to life. I'm giving you the recipe to peace. Get in on the presence of the Lord. Start worshiping Him and focusing on Him. And you'll be just fine. Repent. Turn. Walk different. Walk new, and that new walk, that newness of life, is Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank You for Your word, which is You. You are the Word of God. We have You 24/7 in our hearts, whether it's through Bibles, whether it's through song. Lord, You are the Word, and we carry You, and we can always be filled with You, Jesus Christ. We can always be taught by You. We can always be meditating in You. We can always be learning of the Word, because the Word is living and it's living in us. Lord, forgive us our sins. Anyone who's listening, Lord, forgive us all our sins. Forgive them their sins. Heal them. And heal them, Lord, please, by reminding them that they're already healed. They're already covered. And they can't uncover themselves. They can't remove themselves from Your hand. They can't take away their status of being holy, beloved, acceptable, perfect, complete. They can't remove that. There's no sin that any of us can do that could take away the nature that we have as children of God. So remind anyone that's listening of that. And Lord, we just praise You and lift up Your holy name. Amen.